you know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
Good evening, everyone. And hopefully you can hear me loud and clear. If you can't, please tell me, a guest in the chat room, if you can tell me if I'm actually coming through clearly enough. Hopefully. And we have a really special guest tonight. It is Steve Pierce. Steve was actually involved in the UFO incident which happened in Snowflake, Arizona, with Travis Walton being abducted. So we're excited to talk to Steve about this. And also, we're going to be talking to some other eyewitnesses of UFOs and alien visitations. But for now, actually, we're going to, you know, Russ is going to say hi because I'm not with Nino tonight. So say hi, RJ.
How's everybody doing out there? Yeah, we're going to go on tonight without Nino. He's a little bit under the weather tonight. So we're going to do our best to make sure you guys are happy with the show anyway. And anybody who is listening out there and wants to call in and possibly share one of their stories with us or maybe message us and we'll read it on the air for you, that would be great. We'd love to hear from you guys.
And the number to call in is 818-369-0327. And Steve Pierce, we're going to actually bring him on right now because he has been holding. And we're going to actually begin directly asking questions and whatnot. And we encourage our listeners to call in and ask their own questions. So let's see if we can get Steve. Steve, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us tonight. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. Okay. How are you doing today, Steve?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Okay. It's a little chilly here, but it's actually getting nicer and the day is a little bit longer now, so that's good, you know? You are in you're in Utah now.
I live in Rock Springs, Wyoming.
Oh, shoot. Sorry. That's a little distance from Utah. Sorry.
Well, that's right next door.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a nice place to live, Wyoming. Geez. So, you know, as I was looking past things about the case with Travis Walton, and of course all of us, well, most of us know the movie Fire in the Sky that, brought this whole thing, you know, out in the open. I noticed that you actually stayed silent for a long time, which, you know, hence your new book called Broken Silence. Steve, what made you decide to step forward and finally talk about this?
I broke my neck about, it was 2008, and I can't work anymore. They retired me, and me and my daughter and my wife was at home watching a movie, and I told my daughter, Henry Thomas, he was playing my part, and my daughter said, well, they changed your name. How come it's not your name? I said, well, I don't know why they changed my name, and she goes, well, can you prove this? And I says, yeah, I can prove it. So I got a hold of Travis, and Travis sent her a book, and my picture's in it, and name's in it, and sent her a copy of the movie with he autographed everything in the poster and everything. And
nice.
Then she told me that I should get out and start talking about this. I shouldn't keep it quiet. You know, my wife's behind me, and they think that I shouldn't come out and start talking about this. So I did.
Right. Do you feel it was the right thing for you to do at this point?
Well, at first, I went to a conference, and it was Open Minds, they do a conference in Arizona. It's in February, but February before last, I went, me and Travis and John Glett went and spoke at it. And this guy came up and called me a liar. He wrote an article about me, said about Philip Glass, you know, isn't true, and I can prove most of it. And that kind of made me mad, so I was going to get out of it, and I went to Open Minds and said that this was going to be my last interview. So they did an interview on me, and I got such a big response about people telling me to stay, you know, keep talking about it, don't quit. So I decided to keep talking about it because people's out there want me to tell my story. So they did another one on me and saying that, you know, all these people wanted me to just keep talking about it. I got all these emails and messages from people saying that, you know, don't stop talking about it. And so I'm still talking about it.
Right. No, I think it's fantastic that you actually have started to talk about it. And because, I mean, there's so many people that are still in doubt whether, you know, this story that you were involved in is true or any story about aliens are true. And, you know, so, I mean, I can read the Wikipedia of, you know, account of what happened. However, Steve, would you tell us what happened on that night that you were with Travis in Snowflake, Arizona? You guys were about
it was in Heber, Arizona. Heber was the nearest town.
Oh, okay.
Snowflake is where we all lived.
Okay.
Well, we loaded up that night, and there was seven of us, and the movie only showed six. They kept one guy can put me out. And Henry Thomas plays my part in the movie. I'm the kid in the movie. Well, we loaded up, and we took off, and the front seat on the shotgun side was Travis Walton, and Kenny Peterson was in the middle. Mike Rogers was driving, and in the back seat, behind Travis on the shotgun side was Alan Dallas, then me, John Goulet, and Dwayne Smith was on the far left behind Mike Rogers. But we was going down the, you know, it's a log road, really messed up road. You know, I wouldn't drive a car down it. And we seen this bright office over to the right, and we couldn't figure out what it was. And somebody said, looks like the moon. And somebody else said, no, the moon's over here, so it wasn't the moon. And we thought it was something that the hunters made up for hunting season because it was hunting season. Then we thought maybe it was a plane crash. And then John Gritt said, no, that's no plane crash. And it was a bright object into the trees. And at first we really couldn't tell what it was. And then we made this, right before we made a turn, Alan Dallas goes, it looks like a spaceship. He kind of like hits the floorboard, and I scoot over, and then he gets back up. And then as we're making this turn, we seen this hovering in the air. It was solid white, and you could see the window frames in the craft.
Wow.
And it was just hovering in the air. It wasn't moving, wasn't making no sound, no nothing. And so we get up to it, and it looks like to me that Travis was being pulled out, and Alan Dallas thinks the same thing. Boy, he passed away about a year and a half ago now, and it looks like he was being pulled out, like he was hypnotized, like he was, you know, in a trance or something.
Right.
He gets out, and he doesn't actually walk up to it like the movie, you know, the movie it shows that he's underneath it and stuff. That didn't happen. He kind of like walks sideways up towards it from where we were at, and he was like in front of it, and then he ducks down in between these dead trees, and when he rolls back up, and everybody's hauling at him, telling him, come back, you know, what are you doing, come back, and he wasn't answering her, he wasn't answering us. He turned around one time, and this thing's hovering in the air, and it starts rocking back and forth in this beeping noise and a high-pitched noise, and this thing started getting brighter and brighter and brighter, and this bluish green light came out and zapped him in the chest.
Mm.
He flies back about a good 15 feet, and as soon as I seen him hit the ground, I said, they got him. And as soon as I said, they got him, Mike Rogers takes off, and he's going down the road, and we get down about a mile or so, and finally we stop, and Kenny Peterson, when we stop, we get out of the truck, and we notice that it took off. We seen a white flash take off into the sky, so we thought, you know, it was gone. And then Kenny Peterson and John Gillette saying, you know, we got to go back and look for him. And I wanted to go home. I was 17 years old. I was scared to death, and I just wanted to go home. I wanted to go home.
I don't blame you.
Well, in the movie, it shows that Mike went back by himself. That's not true. We all wanted to stick with the truck because he wasn't going to leave us out there by ourselves. So everybody stayed with the truck. And no matter where the truck was going to go, that's where everybody else was going to go. So Kenny Peterson and John Gillette said, man, we have to go back and look for him. We just can't leave him. So we all got back in the truck. We went back and looked for him. And Mike broke down, hit the ground, and started. He was really upset, saying that I left my best friend behind me. Look what I've done, you know. And he was really upset. And when we got to look for him, we couldn't find him. We walked all the way around where we thought. You know, at first I wasn't sure if we was at the right place or not. And I looked for tire marks, and we could see the tire marks where he took off. Because, you know, when Mike took off, he took off. He was running over pine trees and everything. And so we looked for a while, then we was trying to figure out, well, what do we do now? Do we call the cops? And I was against it because I knew they wasn't going to believe us. And Alan Dallas was against it. And, you know, they're not going to believe us. Well, we have to report it, because if we don't report it now, it's going to, you know, make us look, you know, guilty. You know, it's going to make us look worse. So we got into town, and we pulled up into this parking lot, and the town was closed because it was dark, you know, and there was nothing open. And there was this phone booth next to this building. It was like a phone company. I don't know. It wasn't the kind of, you know, it was a phone company, but it wasn't where you went to pay. It was like you know, for workers and stuff, you know.
Right.
So it was in this parking lot. Kenny Peterson, Mike's still upset. So Kenny Peterson, you know, in the movie it shows that we went inside of a restaurant. That's not true. And so Kenny Peterson makes the phone call. Mike didn't make the phone call, like it says in the movie. So Kenny Peterson calls and tells the sheriff's department that we have a missing person. He didn't tell him what happened, because we have a missing person. Well, two cops show up, a deputy and Sheriff Gillespie. And we told Gillespie what happened and everything, and I wasn't saying much because I was scared to death. And Gillespie just didn't look like he believed us. And so he was looking around for beer cans and stuff, like he thought we were partying out there or something, you know.
Of course.
And, you know, he didn't believe the story. And then, so he said, well, Mike has to go back because he's the crew boss, and I want two other guys to go back. And Kenny Peterson and Alan Dallas both went back with the cops, and me, John Gillette drove us home, and I was in the back seat, and Dwayne Smith, we went back to town. We went back to Snowflake. So they looked for him that night, and they couldn't find him. Well, the next morning, they had a posse. It was like between 80 and 100 men, cops out there, you know, looking for him. And they came to my door, and the city cops came to the door, and was talking to my mom. You know, we knew we know Travis is dead. He's out there somewhere, and we're going to find the body. Well,
yeah.
I was thinking Travis is dead, too, so there's no way I was going to go out there and look for a dead body, because there's no way we was going to be able to escape from 100 cops.
Right. So,
Steve,
at 17 years old, you see this incredible thing happen. What are you thinking to yourself?
The world is coming to an end.
That's what I would have thought. And because you, I mean, did you know anything about aliens before this, or?
No, I didn't never got into those kind of movies. I still don't watch them kind of movies.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Steve, this is RJ.
Well, I snuck out the back door that morning, and hid all day.
Yeah, you went to your girlfriend's house, right?
Yeah.
Quick question for you. You said you were only 17 when this happened. How long have you been working with these guys, or how long did you know these guys before this incident took place?
Well, my uncle and cousin worked there. They knew him. They knew Mike, and that's how I got the job, was through them. And I knew Mike maybe a month or two before this happened.
Okay,
and
so
John Glitt, huh?
And what you know of these guys from previous, were they the type that were into the paranormal, or was this like a new eye-opening first-time experience for them as well?
As far as I know, none of us were into it. You know the part about the magazine, that they pick up in the car, in the pickup, you know, they're looking at the magazine, they show me reading that UFO. That's not true. There was no magazine in there.
Yeah,
geez, that was convenient for them to put in the movie, you know?
Well, they can't be 100%.
Well, they put a lot of things in that movie that's not true. So, you know, and they even made us look like we were lying at the end. I didn't know they made a movie until 93, and I was in a truck stop, and I'm a long-haul truck driver, I was, and I was in a truck stop in Barstow, and I just got loaded, and I got fuel, and I went inside the fuel, the fuel desk and paid for the fuel. I went to the restroom on the way out. I went to the TV room to see if anybody was going to be driving for the rest of the night, and there was Travis Walton on HBO talking about Fire in the Sky, and that's how I knew they made a movie.
Wow.
So, no one ever told me they made a movie. And then I didn't watch it the movie came out in 93, and I didn't watch it until 2008. And I still never watched the whole thing. The first time I watched it, I got mad. I wouldn't watch it because it pissed me off.
Yeah.
So I get that.
Last week was the first time I watched the whole thing all the way through.
Wow.
I remember when that came out, too. It was actually one of my favorite movies at the time.
Yeah, no, it was a good movie, but like you're saying right now, Steve, it was just a movie. Well,
you know. If you guys really want to see something that's true, see Paranormal Witness on Sci-Fi. It comes on the Sci-Fi channel.
Yeah, that's
and
a good
they
one.
did a thing on us, and the first one's an hour and a half long. And if you want to see the truth about it, watch that, because, that is true.
Yeah, and anybody out there that wants to find that, if you do a little bit of looking, there's actually the unedited episodes and stuff like that of that show are on YouTube. If you watch the one that's on Sci-Fi, it's cut down to like an hour or whatever, but the full episode is out there on YouTube. You can watch the whole thing.
Oh, that sounds
great. I just found it the other day.
So the cops come to your parents' door, and they're accusing you guys, one of you, of being a murderer. And this goes on for 5 days?
Yes. Yeah, for 5 days they thought we killed him. Well, they didn't think, I think it was like the second day I was hiding in one of the city cops saw me and got me in the back of his cop car and told me, he said, we know you didn't kill him, but we know you're covering this up. If you confess now and tell us who killed him, it would go easier on you, because in Arizona we don't need a body.
Yeah.
And if you were there, you can be charged with the murder even if you didn't do it, because you're covering the murder up. So
association.
They didn't need a body. Well, they had no evidence that it was even a murder. That's the reason they never arrested us. That's the reason they wanted us to take the polygraph test.
Right. And you passed the polygraph test.
Yes. And, I'm getting emails now, people are saying, well, the reason we passed the polygraph test because Travis wasn't really dead. But that's what that was a couple of the questions, but also they asked us if we saw a UFO. So
right.
We passed that too. You know, mm-hmm. They did ask, did you guys see a UFO? And and we passed it.
Right, exactly.
Now, I don't know the answer to this, but maybe you might. Is this considered still an open case by the local police where this took place?
Well, Gillespie said on that TV show when it was on Paranormal Witness, he still don't believe us, you know, and he thinks that we caused, this was nothing but a hoax. So I don't know if it's still open or not, but, you know, Gillespie still thinks we're lying if you watch the show.
He's the sheriff that was on there. Yeah, I saw him.
He's the sheriff, Sheriff Gillespie.
Right, so he's still working as a sheriff?
No, he was on the show, too. It has Paranormal Witness found the guy that took the polygraph test. He believes us. They found two of the cops that were involved in it, Gillespie and a deputy, and they found one of the doctors that were involved in it. This show is good. I mean, they got everybody. And then one other thing, none of us saw each other when they filmed this. You know, I was in Hollywood when they filmed it. They took me to Hollywood, and I spent the night in the motel, and it was, it was pretty cool. But none of us saw each other when they filmed this, so everybody did this separately.
Right, right, and it was all the same story.
Yeah, it's always been the same story. Well, now people are telling me, I'm getting emails, also people saying, well, the movie is different than the TV, than Paranormal Witness. Well, you change your story. We didn't change our story. The story's always been the same. Hollywood did what they want with that movie.
Exactly.
You know,
the movie's just the artist's rendering of it.
I mean,
Travis said once Hollywood buys a script, they have the right to do what they want with it.
Yep.
You know, so there's nothing that Travis could have done about it because he sold them the script. So,
right.
You know, so.
And they say it's based on true events, not this is an exact story. So they can do whatever they want. They can get away with changing.
Yeah, well, look at the Titanic, you know. So, some of those facts were right, but most of them were just made up for Hollywood. So you're thinking to yourself, Travis is dead. I'm being, looked at for murder or that I know the murderer. And so he shows up. How did he show up after 5 days of being missing?
Okay, we took the polygraph test, and then the following morning he shows back up, and they let him off in Heber. And he called his brother, and his brother came and got him. You know, it shows that Mike Rogers and Dane and all of them came and got him. That's not true. And his brother took him to his house in Phoenix where his brother was living, and he told everybody that he was in Tucson in a hospital. And they got thousands of calls in the hospitals of Tucson at the time. Everybody calling me, "Is Travis Walton there? Is Travis Walton there?" And even I didn't know about it that he was back until that following night. I came home and my mom told me that somebody came by and said that Travis was back. And I thought he was in Tucson for a while because everybody thought he was in Tucson, but he was in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. So and then when did you see Travis after he returned?
It was a good 2 to 3 weeks. After that, and my mom didn't really want me to see him anyway. My mom wanted me to stay away from him because after he came back, everybody thought it was a joke. You know, for 5 days, the whole town thought we killed him. And then after he came back, they all thought it was just nothing but a hoax and a joke. And so it was really weird after that.
Yeah, so did you say to Travis when you saw him, "What the hell happened?"
Well, not exactly those terms, but we met at Mike's house, and he told us what happened. And, you know, I believed him because I saw the first part. You know, Travis believes that he got in the way and they saved him. I don't believe that. He believes that this was an ambulance call. I don't believe that. I believe that they knew. We saw this thing for 5 minutes, hovering in the air. Ain't like we saw it for 10 seconds and it took off. We saw it for a good 5 minutes. So it must have knew that we were there. They're that much intelligent than we are. They had to hear that creaky old truck coming, pickup coming down the road, you know. And they had to hear us. They knew we were there. They knew we were in front of them. I'm not buying this that, this, you know, they wanted Travis and they took Travis. And, you know, I'll stick with that until the day I die.
Just curious, what does he say he feels they were there for? Would they, obviously, if he was not the purpose, in his opinion, there was a different purpose. Does he, you know, say anything about what he thinks that is?
I really don't know the answer to that one. But he does believe that you know, they were fixing to take off, and he got, you know, the part that, like a muffler when you hit the gas,
backfire.
You know, smoke comes up. Yeah, that's what he got. And then they realized what they did, so they came back and they took him and they saved, you know, and they saved him.
So not only does he not really have animosity toward the situation, because me, I'd want to kick E.T.'s butt. But this guy apparently is grateful. He feels like they helped him out in this situation.
You want to do what now?
I said if it happened to me, I'd want to go kick E.T.'s butt. But you're saying that he feels that they saved him. He was accidentally hurt, and they, you know, went out of their way to help him in the situation?
Yes, that's what he believes, yes.
And did Steve, did you ever witness an alien incident after this?
Yes.
Can you tell us about that and when it happened?
I was driving. It was in the '90s. I was on Highway 666 before they changed it to 491.
Oh, shit. That's funny.
Well, it was Highway 666 for years, and then the people were complaining about it because it's the mark of the beast, I guess, and then they changed it. I think it's Highway 491 now. What?
Didn't it actually have the most, like, fatality truck driving accidents for several years in a row on 666? Or is that just a, you know...
No, I don't know. I see a couple of them. There's a couple mountains in the United States that are worse than that highway. But it was like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm almost in Shiprock, New Mexico, and I noticed this light behind me, and then it got on top of me. And so I pulled into this gas station that was closed, and it was closed, and I got out of the truck, and, you know, semis have steps that you get into the truck.
Mm-hmm.
I was standing on the step, and I was looking up, and it's above me, and it's just hovering there. And I look down the highway, and I see these two two cars coming down the highway. And then I look back up, and the next thing I remember, it's the next morning, and they're beating on my door saying that I can't park there. You have to move my truck. They're fixing to open the store.
So you had missing time?
About 4 hours.
Oh, my God.
And you haven't recalled that at all?
Yes, I do now. Yvonne Smith hypnotized me. I had three times. The first time was January 13th of this year, then February the 4th, and then February the 5th. They came up here and they did it, and it's all on video. And a lot of things came out, but I'm not going to talk about that yet right now.
Okay, we respect that. So, because I was wondering, like, if you saw them once, usually people will see them again and have other incidents.
I've had quite a few incidents. I've seen four of them right in front of my truck another time.
I know you said you didn't really want to comment on too much about this situation, but if you can, could you tell us, do you think that they are the same, like whatever you want to call them, aliens or beings that you encountered before, or do you think these might be totally different?
You mean, are they the same ones that was with Travis?
Yes.
I can't answer that, but the ones that I've seen are the same ones over and over and over.
Okay.
I keep seeing the four. And then when I got hurt, Well, I ain't gonna get into that part. I have an alien. I call her Paula, that pops up all the time. But it'd be in the book. I've talked about it on my Facebook a couple times, but I see one all the time. And then a couple other people that I know that they came to her. She's came to them, and then my daughter saw for the first time a couple weeks ago. It came to her. So,
wow. Are you afraid that they're going to abduct your daughter?
Not really, because I don't believe they're there to hurt us.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you, Steve, if you believe that they are a help or a hinder.
Well, there's bad and good and everything. So I'm sure there's bad ones, and I'm sure there's a lot of people said they've had bad experience with them, and other people said they've had good experience with them. And, and there's different kinds of them. So, they're not just one, like just grays or something out there. There's different kinds, because this universe is so big, there's got to be, there's got to be other ones.
Yeah, according to one of our guests, isn't there like, what, 9 different varieties out there?
Yeah, at least.
Well, they can even be more than that. We really don't know how many out there. Look how big the universe is.
Yeah, that's what he says he's been in contact with.
Yeah, well, now we're referring to Riley Martin, who's a alien abductee extraordinaire. He's experienced everything in the universe there is to experience. But so, Steve, basically, you think that they are not bad. They're not evil.
No.
There's no okay. That's really good to know, because you know what? One of my biggest fears is to be abducted. And
my wife's fear too.
Really? So how does she feel about that now? I mean,
well, she's never seen one until we had a conference to do in this past January in California, and then on the drive home, we had 3 that stood right beside us, flew right beside us for 200-300 miles. They stayed right beside us, 3 of them.
Wow.
And she was all, look, there's 3 of them, and then one would take off and come back. And with an airplane, because, an airplane can just sit there beside you for 200-300 miles, it'd be gone. And I've seen enough of them. I've seen maybe like 30-something of them by now, UFOs.
Gee.
And I've seen aliens about 4 or 5 times, 4 of them at the same time.
Right, right. So you've actually seen the alien being.
Yes, I see grays.
Grays, okay. And are they like they're, said to be like in the by media? Are they short and gray with the big eyes?
The ones I see are short, and they're gray, and they have dark eyes.
Mm-hmm. But they're not scary to you.
Well, the first time after this happened with Travis, it kind of scared me. Now I'm so used to it, it doesn't bother me anymore.
This Paula you speak of, Paula, as you said her name was, do you communicate with her, or just she's an occurrence, she keeps smoking up? Yeah, you knew that question, didn't you?
I can talk to her.
Cool, that's great. Anything you'd like to tell us or share with us about that, or...
Not right now. I'll come back on when the book's done, and I'll talk all about it.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Okay, so
I want to see. I haven't seen. They've recorded me being hypnotized 3 times. I've seen the first one. It was mostly about Travis and firing. About what happened with Travis, and then the second two, Yvonne Smith hypnotized me. It was more about me coming, bringing out things that about me, and I haven't seen. I can remember some of it, but I can't remember it all. Like, it comes into flashes,
Right.
I want to watch this video before I start talking about it.
Right, I understand. But, see, I don't know who this woman is, and obviously RJ is more privy to the information on who this woman is, but assuming she's a spiritual being rather than a human being, So do you think that you have gained certain powers like that? Like, I mean, not to sound stupid or hokey or anything, but you know what I mean?
Kind of, maybe.
Knowledge
my,
is power.
My daughter does. My daughter is very good at some things.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Can we...
Yeah, she can talk to dead people, and they come to her, and she can see them and talk to them, and they can talk to her back.
Oh, my God.
Now, are you familiar with the phrase or the term indigo child?
What do you mean?
Well, there's these theories out there right now, and it's basically the younger generations. Right now, a lot of younger children are being born with abilities
I know what you're talking about.
Medical,
okay, go ahead.
Medical specialties. And ironically, a lot of these children's parents are usually involved in some kind of UFO incident in their life.
I've been told that. They think it's because of me. A couple people have told me that.
You would be referred to as what they call a light worker. The parents of the star children or the indigo children, the generation above them, like I said, in many cases have had incidents where they've had interaction with UFOs or alien beings. And the theory is that there's a reason why you've gone through what you've gone through, and it's so you're more prepared to guide and help your daughter along with her journey. And that, they say, is going to be the generation that leads us to where the human race is headed as a goal. Might be something you want to look into.
Well, I've got a couple of people that are teaching her, and they tell her the same thing, you know. And the church we was going to, they try to tell her this was from the devil, and now we don't tell people around here where we live.
No, well,
I'm just curious, what religion would that be?
Southern Baptist.
Oh, Lord. All right. I don't mean anything by that, Steve.
Hey, I was raised in Missouri City Lutheran, so it's kind of the same ideals in a lot of it.
No, but it's not the work of the devil. Come on, you know? But so
it says in the Bible, you know, if you do it for good, it's good. If you do it for bad, it's bad. You know, it depends how you use it, you know? So.
Right, exactly.
I don't believe it's bad. And, you know, when I first saw this happen to Travis, I thought it was demonic. I have had people come up. I still get that. People saying this is demonic. You know, this is from the devil. This last conference, I had a lady that came, bought two tickets. Her and her husband came to buy two tickets, and they came there just to tell me this was demonic. What I seen was from the devil.
What?
I was raised Pentecostal. Okay. And people in my church were trying to tell me, you know, this is, you know, half my family is Pentecostal. On my mom's side, my dad's side is Pentecostal, my mom's side is Southern Baptist. So they were telling me, you know, this is from the devil, you saw the devil, and because God is good and devil is bad, and what we saw was bad, I guess, you know. And for, you know, a year or two after this happened, you know, it was in my head that it was demonic, but I don't believe it's demonic. I don't believe this is... I think demons and aliens are two separate, completely different things.
Right. But, you know, I often think that angels and aliens are akin to each other.
I think it's misidentification. So it's all perspective. I think the same thing could be seen by two different people. And someone who is more religious is going to lean toward the angel theory. Whereas someone who isn't, they're going to come up with another way to explain it.
Right. Now, Steve, do you believe that when... you pass away, what do you think happens? Do you think that you enter an alien?
I was going to ask a good question.
What do people always ask me these questions? why do you want to go so deep for? I believe I'm going to come back as grass or a tree or something. How's that?
Oh, that sounds good. But I mean, you know, there's lots of people that have had alien incidents happen in their lives, and I just wonder what they think the afterlife, like, do you believe that we don't die?
I believe we have a soul, we don't die. I don't believe in heaven, and I don't believe there's a hell.
I myself believe there's a negative and a power energy field of negative and positive energies out there. And I think when we pass, our bodies, our energies, whatever, go to wherever it's needed or wherever it's supposed to go. You know, if you want to believe that you're a bad person, it's going to go to negative, whatever. But wherever you're going to, I feel it's kind of, you know, when the body's thrown on the ground, it breaks down. It becomes food for new life. It's that same idea, that same process. And, I mean, what you said, you think you're going to come back as in grass and trees. It sounds to me like you kind of have the same theory that you feel your energies are going to go out there as a positive. And what you see that
as... That was a joke.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people that believe that, they come back as part of nature.
Steve, you're like, ha-ha, I gotcha.
I believe the truth. I believe Adam and Eve got here by help with a UFO.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
I can understand that. So now, from what I understand, you actually visited with Travis at a UFO convention recently.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go?
It went pretty good. I was mad at him for a long time. Me and him didn't get along for years, and I didn't get along with him. I still haven't talked to Mike Rogers.
I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, but was that due to the incident, or is this because of personal reasons?
It was personal reasons.
Okay.
Mike's never really paid me for that job, and then another job came up, and then he took it from me. So this was all personal stuff that happened a long time ago. That's the reason I was going to take the money from Philip Glass.
Right. I was going to ask you about that.
After this happened, I was living in Taylor, and I just got married, and we lived on a dirt road and in a trailer house, and you could hear people coming down the dirt road, and my ex-wife said that, look, you know, Jim Cook's coming down the road, what'd you do this time? Are you in trouble again? She thought I was in trouble again.
Yeah.
So... He pulls up and comes to the door, and he tells me, he says, and this guy's a cop, his name is Jim Click, and he tells me that Philip Glass called me and said he'd give you $10,000 to see if it was a hoax. And and at the time, I just thought, you know, he was a news reporter and he just wanted a story, so I just blew it off because that following July, we were at the hospital, and my wife was having a baby, and National Star showed up and was bugging me for doing an interview. And I'd been up all night and everything, you know, and they were out in front of in the lobby bugging people, wanting to do an interview. And so I went there and did an interview, and they made us look like we were lying. So that was the last interview I did for 35 years because... You know, they wrote this magazine. They made us look like we were all lying. And you know, I don't need this, you know. So I stayed out of it for 35 years because people would write what they want to write in their magazines and say what they want to say, even once they got their interview. And then they would change our words around. Oh, he said this, and, you know, and you got it in print. But he said this, his picture's there, you know. And I just got tired of it. And then I moved around a lot. I couldn't keep a job. This really was bothering me. I couldn't figure out why this happened to me. And I moved back to Texas where I was born, and Philip Glass found out where I lived, and he was calling me about once a month, telling me, you know, I give you this money, all you do is say it's a hoax, you know. And so finally I hung up the phone, and I told my ex-wife, I said, I'm just going to, you know, take this money. And she says, well, do you believe this really happened? I said, you know, I really believe it happened. And why would you take this money just because you're mad at Mike, you know? So he called me once, and she wasn't home, and I was there by myself, and I told him, okay, Philip Glass is the only person I ever said it was a hoax to because I wanted the money. And then so he came to Texas, and we met at a restaurant, and Robert Schaefer, a friend of Philip Glass, says I'm lying about this, and he's the one who was at the conference, and he did an article about me. But he came to the, Robert Schaefer said he wined and dined me. Joe Pesci not wine and dine me. He didn't even buy me breakfast. We went there. It was a meeting place to talk about how I was going to get this $10,000, how I was going to prove this was a hoax. And he says, I need to go back to Arizona and find a generator or something. And I told him, you're going to need a big generator. To make this light the way it was, you're going to need a big generator.
Right. He wanted you to find proof that, you know, like where he could show people why it was a hoax and how it was done.
Yes, yes.
A lot of people have that theory. If you can fake it, it must have been faked. And that's not true. Just because you can recreate something doesn't mean the
other people thought that Mike and Travis hung something in the tree and what we saw was hanging in the tree. You know, come on. You know, that's ridiculous because this thing was so bright white that I've never seen this so bright white. And it got whiter and whiter and brighter and brighter and brighter. It got so bright that it was awesome. And seeing Travis get zapped was awesome. That was one of the second coolest thing I ever seen.
I'm sure he's glad to hear that.
I can see that every day.
Do it again.
No, so do you think that Philip Klass was saying, like, prove that it was a fake because he knew that it was real, or what?
I believe deep down he did believe it was real, you know, because I moved from there. I stopped taking his calls, and I got a job in Utah, and I got a job there, and somebody called and said that, you know, they wanted to talk to me about an incident that happened in Arizona. I figured it was him, so I didn't call the person back. And then after this job was done, I moved back to Arizona, and me and my ex-wife, we got divorced, and I was staying at my brother's house, and Philip Klass got their phone number and was bugging my sister-in-law and brother, you know, telling him, you know, I give him $10,000, you know, you say it was a hoax. And then, I kept getting blamed for everything that happened in that valley that they were coming to me about it, you know. So I just jumped on a train one day and took off and never went back.
A couple of quick comments for you right here. First off, I just got to say good for your wife for backing you up in your dilemma when you went to her. I'm glad that, you know, she supported you in the way that she did. But in the situation where this guy was harassing you, kept offering you the money, this, that, the other thing, do you think that he was trying to discredit just to get the story? Or is this one of those things where you might be kind of inclined to think it was like a conspiracy type cover-up thing where people wanted you out in the public saying it was a lie to shut the people up about the story?
Probably the second one. I believe that he was trying to, you know, get the people out there. You know that part of the movie that showed the town meeting? That part's true in the movie. I wasn't invited to it, you know. But people there freaked out so bad that, you know, for 5 days, that whole town freaked out about a UFO. So imagine the whole United States, you know, people were actually saying, you know, this is really true. You know, they would freak out. People would, you know, the non-believers would lose it if they really saw, you know what I mean?
I know. Yes, I do. I know what you mean. I totally agree. There's a lot of people who just aren't prepared for the bigger picture that some of us believe is out there.
Yes. You know, and they're starting to show, they're starting to show themselves more and more and more.
Yeah.
And I'll say one more thing, too, is you said that you did once admit to this guy when he was harassing you. What was his glass? Is that something?
Class.
Okay, you did.
Class.
I'm just going to say one thing out there for the people that might think that puts a negative spin on what you're saying. You guys got to understand this guy was being harassed for a long time. Not only did he need the money, but if I was in your position at this point in time, I would have pretty much told them whatever they wanted to hear just to get them off my back.
No kidding, Steve.
My family didn't believe me. You know, I have brothers that don't believe me. My mom didn't believe me. Everybody thought we were lying. You know, might as well just take the money, you know. Hell, I mean, nobody believes us anyway, you know.
said they
right.
didn't
so,
believe
but,
you.
But I didn't take the money. You know? I decided not to take it.
You decided not to, yeah. Well, you know, you're a better person than I am.
I'll tell you what, right there, that's got to prove you're telling the truth. You know, 10
hey,
grand.
I could use that 10 grand right now.
I have 10 grand right now. I'd be broke. I'd be back to zero.
Are your brothers still living right now?
Yes, I got two brothers that are still living. I got one that lives in New York City, and he works for a famous college there, and he's really smart, he's really educated, and he doesn't understand why they would come to a hick like me instead of a genius like him.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Well, he doesn't believe this.
I have a pretty good answer for that. Whenever we as a people go into an environment or whatever and we start, you know, poking around, checking out the ecosystem, this, that, the other thing, we try to be as non-invasive as possible at first. Well, if these higher beings from other places are doing that to us, they're not going to go into the middle of a city and mess up the system that they're trying to sit there and observe. They're going to go to the outskirts. They're going to do their tests and their experiments on the outsides where they're not noticed, not to disturb what's actually happening. We do the same thing when we go to a new environment, you know, a new area we found in Papua New Guinea. We go in and do little water samples and this, that, the other thing. We don't go jump in the middle of the pond and disturb everything. It's obvious that they would come to the less populated areas first to be secretive.
Well, he was 2 years old when this happened, maybe three, you know, and he grew up different than the way I grew up. You know, my dad died, and he had a stepdad, and he grew up different than I did. And he's educated, and, you know, he's really smart, and he just doesn't believe. And I'm a hick, you know. I'm redneck to the bone. And
some of the smart scientists in the world are full on board with what you're saying and what they believe.
Well, he just doesn't understand why they don't come to the smart people instead of, you know, a truck driver.
Right. No, because it's all about the ego. You know,
they'd probably all freak out
like,
anyway.
No, but
like you said, some people just aren't ready for it.
Right, right. But I mean, people like even when people have, you know, experiences with the afterworld or like your daughter who can speak to the dead, they're like, well, you know, they get jealous. They're like, why would you be the one to be able to do this? I mean, because it's all about the ego, you know, so I can see that. I can see your brother in New York City thinking that, you know.
Well, he changed the way he talks. He talks sophisticated now, and I still talk like I'm a hick, you know, and I refuse to, you know what I mean? So we have a different lifestyle, and he just doesn't understand that why we don't even talk anymore, but he just doesn't understand why that they would not come to him or somebody that in, you know, like he is instead of, you know, comes to me.
Exactly. You know. No, I can see where that would happen, you know. So, you know, so you got a divorce from the first wife, and now your new wife, what, you know, you said a little bit about her, but she has a daughter and a husband that are privy to things that she isn't. How does she feel about that? I mean, is she on board with all of it?
Her husband, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you
no,
lost me too.
Your new wife, I'm sorry. She has yeah.
Actually, we're divorced. We just got back together. She's my fourth wife. I've gone through, I had one wife. I didn't even tell her the story because she didn't believe in UFOs, so she never knew all the time we were married about this.
Well, yeah, that is a little bit of a big secret to keep, you know.
Is that well, the one I'm married now, well, Stevie's mom, I didn't tell her until after we got married.
Hey, not necessarily a bad thing.
No. But she's cool with it now, right?
Yeah, we're back together and everything. We got a daughter of the raised, and yeah, she's cool with it. She got to see her first UFO in January, so she thought that was cool.
Yeah. Now,
I like the way you said that. It was like all nonchalant. Yeah, we went out. We saw our first UFO. It was a good night.
Well, she got to see three at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Hey, the first time we met, I mean, that wasn't the first time we met, but the first time we actually went out, we were in Utah, and that's where she's from, and they have canyons up, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to Provo or Salt Lake or anything, but they have mountains on the side of us, on the east side, and they have canyons in there. So we went driving through the canyon one night, and right before I picked up, I left my truck at the truck stop, and the following night I seen a UFO, and so I was still kind of nervous about seeing that UFO, and well, we're driving up the canyon, and we park and stuff, and we're sitting there, and we're outside, and outside the car and everything, and she hears some noise in the bushes, and she tells me, well, go check that out. I said, no, I ain't checking it out.
No kidding.
So it got louder. It got louder and louder. And she says I beat her to the car. Well, I think we got it at the same time. But but she didn't know the story about me seeing the UFO and all this other stuff. But she married me anyway.
So that's kind of funny, though. You know what I mean?
So then she says that I beat her to the car, and I was in the car before she could get in the car, and I wouldn't go to check out the bushes.
You're like, no.
I thought it was aliens.
Hey, man, no, I ain't blaming you. I'm not blaming you.
Is that the night that you told her, or was it after that?
No, I didn't tell her until after we got married. Then she realized, well, you know, now I understand why you took off.
Yeah, I just think about missing the opportunity.
Now, so Steve, can I just ask you, like, about your daughter's name is Stevie?
Uh-huh.
Okay, does Stevie, like, who are the people that she sees normally that are passed on? Like, is it people?
She sees people that are passed on. When we were separated, I was in California, and she calls me up on the phone, and she says, Dad, are you okay? You okay? And I says, yeah. Well, there's this man here that looks just like you. He was my uncle, because they say I look like my uncle. Mm-hmm. And he just passed on, you know. And Stevie goes, Dad, there's this guy here. Are you okay? You okay? She thought it was me. She thought I died, and I was coming to her, you know. And I said, well, ask him what his name is. He goes, his name's Bob. And I said, well, that's my uncle, you know, so there was a reason why he came to her, and I did what he asked, and, you know, but that kind of freaked her out.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
Now,
you know?
Do you mind me asking you, first off, how old is your daughter now? But about how old was she when this took place?
She's 13.
Okay.
Yeah, she's probably going to be all over Blog Talk Radio pretty soon. You know what I mean?
So coming up, one of our next guests. Seriously, though, like, thumbs up to you, man. For supporting your daughter and helping her out.
She does readings on a show already.
Wow.
Really?
Gee.
Cool.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
Most people, though, they shy away from it when a kid or something like that shows this. I mean, maybe because of your experiences, you're a little bit open to other possibilities. But I want to give you credit for helping her figure this out, not just telling her, shut up, it's in your mind, you're a kid, you're making stuff up. Because that's what most people do.
Right.
You recognize that there might really be something there, and let's look into it. I know you mentioned you had her talking to people. And I mean, I support that.
Yeah, totally.
Well, now, I let her, if it's people that are like her, I let her do what she wants. But I tell her to keep her mouth shut around town.
Yeah.
Because I don't want her to give readings to people that live here.
No kid. Yeah, right.
She does readings on the show. She'll be on Friday night on
feel free
on
to go ahead.
World.
Yeah, no, tell me what show it is.
Go ahead and throw it out there if you want
to. I
want
to listen to it.
Unseen World.
Okay, it's on Blog Talk?
Uh-huh.
Okay, no, I'm going to check it out. Friday night?
Yeah, it should be on Friday night.
Okay, what time is that show on?
It's on 9 o'clock my time, so it's probably, I don't know.
6 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Something like that.
Right,
yeah.
Like your 9. So you're 2 hours difference, right?
Something worth checking
out.
Yeah,
no, I'm going to check that out. Wow.
I was actually talking for the people out there, too. You know, make sure you guys listen in.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. And she just, like, you know, accepted this. And do you think most time people show up for her, they have a message to give her, a specific message?
Yes, there's a reason why they show up. But talking about her show, the show she was on a while back, and this lady calls up and says, can you tell me if I'm going to find a job? And Stevie goes, no. And she goes, you're right, I'm not looking for one.
Oh, really? Wow.
A little trickery there, that's all.
Hey, that's a common question for people to ask psychics, you know? Like, am I going to find a job? Now,
well, she gets upset sometimes because they get mad, and she can't deal with that because she's only 13 years old.
Yeah,
and
no,
sometimes it just makes her sick and hurts her stomach, you know. So
mm-hmm.
she's got to, you know. But I don't mind them asking love questions, you know, am I going to find a boyfriend or something like that, you know. But I don't like it when they get deep, you know, is my mother going to die or something like that, you know.
No.
Because that's, she's too young for that. You
yeah.
know? So that's why the other two ladies that are there, they usually answer them questions.
Yeah, right.
But on a side note, if she happened to have any input on, I don't know, Powerball or anything like that, we'd be glad to take that tip off her hands.
He's talking about the lottery, Steve.
Well, I don't think they can do that.
Oh, come on.
Well, because it's not for the greater good, really.
I
know what I mean?
And Doesn't hurt to ask.
You want me to ask? Hey, give me the numbers. I don't think being psychic.
For zero. That's how much you're going to win.
Yeah, really. No, I think it's so cool, though, that your daughter is, like, really, you know, awake and has this ability. I think that is so neat, you know. Now, what does she say to you about your alien experiences? What does she say about those?
She believes it. We were out UFO hunting this weekend, and she believes it.
How often do you do that?
Lately, we're going to do it next weekend, too. We've got a hot spot, and we're going to go check it out.
Now, I'm assuming you're carrying a camera with you, right?
Yeah, this time we're going to carry a camera. We're going to carry the movie. We're going to do the whole nine yards this time. I want it all on film. Because people believe you more if you have the pictures.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, I saw it. Yeah, well, where's the proof at?
Totally.
Imagine if we had a camera that day when Travis got zapped.
I know.
If it was nowadays, like four of you at least would have a cell phone camera in your pocket, and that would have been great.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they still probably wouldn't have believed it, though.
Well, unfortunately, you know? Nowadays you can fake video a lot easier, too, so.
Yeah.
Well,
they didn't have cell phones back then, I don't think. Nope.
But, you know, so Steve, like, okay, so you go out UFO hunting with your daughter. She believes it. Does she believe the aliens are a positive thing?
Yes. Yeah, she believes it's a good thing.
That's good to know.
I wouldn't be doing this if my wife and daughter wasn't behind me. I would give it up. I mean,
right.
My wife wanted me to do your show, so this is the reason I'm doing your show.
Well, again.
Well, give her a big thanks for me, you know?
Definitely. Thumbs up to your wife again.
And to advertise the book.
No, I definitely will. I will advertise the book. And, but, you know, I think you're doing the absolutely right thing. I think that people need to know about aliens. They need to understand that they exist and they are part of our world. And perhaps part of our future, too. So there's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to doubt. And, you know, so I think it's important that you do come out and speak about this.
Everybody can make their own call and have their own beliefs, but if you're making your decision without being educated, you're a fool. And people like Sky here are here to educate some of the people about the other possibilities.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, so...
Well, what happened to Travis is true. And I was there, I saw it, and I passed a polygraph to prove it. You know, and this is all true, people. I mean, they do exist. They are out there. But they're not out there to like they did Travis, you know, in that movie. That didn't happen.
Right, right.
Well, like you said, there is the good and the bad out there. Of course, there's going to be with anything. So, I mean, there is definitely the possibility of negative things from these visitors. But the positive things from these visitors may be the reason we get through the negative things from the other ones.
Right, right. Yeah, true. But what? So Travis never explained what happened in those 5 days, or did he?
Yes, he was hypnotized one time. I think it was National Star that paid for everything, and National Enquirer, one of those others. I don't know, some magazine. I think I'm right. I'm wrong. I apologize, sorry. But what happened was, they set him on a table, and there was three of them, and they set him on a table, and he kind of freaked out, and he jumps up, and he grabs for a glass tube, and he tries to break it, and he swings it at them because it wouldn't break, and they back off, and they walk down this hallway that it's a fork, and they went one way, so he goes another. And he's in this room that it looks like the pilot's room, or, you know, captain's chair there. And they got all this, you know, like Captain Kirk stuff, you know, the seat there. And he could see the universe through the, you know, above him. Mm-hmm. And while he was looking at everything, another people that looked like us, an astronaut suit, came in there and took him by the hand and took him into another UFO, and that's all he can remember.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if I woke up,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Steve.
They say, you know, if he got hypnotized again, and if he actually did die, and that he could go back into a shock, and it could kill him, and he can't come out of it. So that's why he won't be hypnotized again.
Ooh.
I've done it three times, and I'm not doing it again. It's freaky.
You know what, though? It is kind of funny that commonly is told to people that pull stuff out in hypnosis. And I myself think that's one of those things where these doctors may be getting pressured, or it's one of those things to quiet down the story. Oh, if you keep doing this, you might die. You might slip into a coma. It scares people away, in many cases, from having these hypnotic sessions.
Right. So, Steve, you've had it done three times. You mean been hypnotized by
Elon Smith.
Yeah, just in the last months, right?
Yeah, February the 4th, February the 5th, and January the 13th.
Yep.
Wow.
Was that Friday?
I think it was a Sunday.
Okay, it wasn't Friday the 13th. I was just checking.
The conference was Saturday night, so it was on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And I did it on my birthday on February the 4th, and then I did it again on February the 5th. And my wife said it was really intense. I mean,
she was there.
I would have done it without my wife.
Yeah.
No way. I ain't doing it by myself.
Don't blame you.
Yeah, really.
And they have it on videotape. I mean, they filmed everything. Everything's filmed. Lori Wagner filmed it, and as soon as she edits it, we're gonna show it.
Will we read about this in the new book?
Yes, this is gonna be in the book too.
Okay, so you guys listening, Steve has a new book coming out called, and you've decided on the name of
Broken Silence.
Broken Silence.
Yeah, Broken Silence. One Man's Journey. I thought you were gonna go ahead and say it.
Yeah, yeah. And when this book comes out, and you don't know when exactly it's going to come out.
This summer.
In a couple more months.
Yeah, in a couple more months it should be out.
And where can we look for it?
Right now, I'm not sure how we're going to do this, but my email is steve.pierce@hotmail.com. Steve, S-T-E-V-E, and dot, and Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E, like you pierce your ear, stevepierce.com. Hotmail.com.
Yeah.
So you can email me, and I'll let you know when it's. I'll go back on your show when.
Well, I was gonna say, I'll tell you what. If you'd like to come back, that'd be great. But other than that, when you do have the actual set dates and info, if you'd like to email that to us or whatever, blah, blah, we'd love to put a link up for you and help get your book out there.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Definitely.
Okay.
No, it's
if
cool.
If you want, I can try to get John Gillette to come on your show, too, if you want.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yeah. Because then we can talk to the both of you at the same time. And it has been, like, so wonderful to hear what happened directly from you.
Definitely.
You know, after seeing the movie and everything, and knowing that you have a book out coming out, it's, like, really exciting for us. So we're really, you know, looking forward to that.
And I got one thing to add real quick right there is you had mentioned earlier about, you know, you feel coming out, it might help educate people. You and I discussed that. And I myself am right here going to tell you that already you guys have made a difference, because right now we do this show and it's a passion for us. But one of the things that solidified my passion in the paranormal and stuff like that when I was growing up was seeing the story of what you went through, the Fire in the Sky movie. I was a teenager at the time and it made an impression on me. So definitely write from me, and you can understand that people do appreciate that you guys are coming out, and it has made a difference in some people's lives.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, Steve, I hear a lot of stories where people talk about how when they were little, they would have dreams. You know, in one case, they would have dreams of going into a bright circus tent every night.
What?
And then actually RJ has a story also.
Yeah, I thought you were going to actually throw me under the bus on that one that we just discussed earlier.
Well, no, because this happened. Now, what do you say to people that think that perhaps they were abducted when they were small? I mean, you would have to hear their story probably, right?
Yeah, I believe everybody that tells me, you know, because they, you know, I listen to everybody. If they want to tell me their story, because I tell you mine, and I don't, you know, call them a liar. I don't call them, you know. And I had a woman. it's 12 o'clock at night. I'm laying in bed, and she calls me in the middle of the night saying, "I just saw a UFO. What do I do?"
And you're like, shit.
Well, again, I'm going to throw this out there for anybody in that situation. Grab a camera and email it to us because we want to see it too.
So what did you say? What did you tell her?
First I asked, "Are you okay?" She goes, "Yes." And she goes, "Well," I told her, "well, go home and call me back." So she goes home and calls me back. And I said, she goes, "I go, are you home?" She goes, "Yes." "Are you safe?" "Yes." "Well, take a hot bath and then write everything down what you saw." Mm-hmm. You know, and then, and she did. And I talked to her the next day and I said, "Well, do you want to, you know, talk to other people about this?" And she goes, "No, I'm not ready to." And so, you know, she hasn't told anybody except me.
Right, right.
See, I would have messed with her when she called back. I would have acted like I was the
enemy.
Well,
she was if it was a guy, I would have messed with him, you know.
Yeah, right.
She seemed really upset, and I didn't want to freak her out because it was the first time she saw one, and it was right in her face. And
honestly, I was just kidding. I wouldn't mess with anybody in that situation. But somebody asked me, and I actually want to throw this out there. I mean, I don't know what your opinion is on your 4 hours of missing time, but throw this out to the listeners too. How many people, if they were given the choice and had the opportunity, and, you know, like I said, your buddy there got zapped and they helped him, but if you were given a choice, would you go with these visitors? Would you be abducted willingly? You would?
I've been abducted. It's in the book.
Is that the 4 hours of missing time, or is that a separate story?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
Steve,
as far as I'm going into it.
Okay, I understand.
Steve, we're trying to squeeze the truth out of you.
I've seen questions four different ways.
That's what they said. I didn't know this until after I was hypnotized. This is what came out.
Nice.
Wow.
So we'll talk about that on a future date.
Yeah. No, okay. Once
a week
the book,
or so after the book is released.
Yeah, once the book is released, we can talk about it freely. But it's good to know that the aliens that you've encountered are not malicious and not harmful. So, I mean, because like I said, that is one of my worst fears. So, you know, but we're all going to have to, you know, they are showing up more and more. And
well, is it that they're showing up more and more, or people are more comfortable coming forward? I mean, look at how long it took Steve to come forward about his story.
Right.
It's more acceptable now. I would definitely say that. But I think that these things have been going on constantly at the higher rate forever and weren't reported. If you look at ancient recordings, it was a common occurrence. It's starting to become more acceptable, so I think more people are coming forward. That's why you hear
it. I think you're right. I think more people are starting to talk about it, or not, you know, because I was married to one woman and never told her the story. So
yeah, exactly. Your own wife fell. You're scared to admit that. I mean,
yeah,
anybody would be.
Yeah, to certain people, you know. But you believe, Steve, that we, you know, people are talking about the shift that is happening right now. Do you believe that the aliens or alien life has anything to do with this shift? Like, is it part of the whole spiritual realm?
No.
No?
No.
Would you say the aliens aren't spiritual at all?
They might be spiritual. They might, you know, be believing there's a God like everybody else does, there's a creator, but I don't believe this is a spiritual thing. Is that what you're getting at?
I think so, yeah.
Now, them being here in the situation like that day when you guys, as you said, came down the road and came across them, or as, you know, Walton believes they were there for other purposes, do you think that they are here in an interactive way, or do you think they are here just to observe?
I think maybe both. You know, just like if you see the... what do you call it? The thing that hit Russia, that meteor, or whatever.
Yeah,
you want to call it?
We're about to go to my next question on that one, yeah.
Did you see that thing that flew around it and tried to break it up?
Yeah.
It struck through it, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that was a UFO?
Yes.
We have that technology.
Huh? Yeah.
I don't think that we have the technology to do that. And there was something, and there's so many different cameras caught it, and so many of them came out at the same time that can't be one or two people hoaxing it. Something struck that meteorite before it hit the ground.
Yeah, see? And they're here to help us.
Do you know the story of Tunguska?
No.
Pretty much the same area, not very far away from the Ural Mountains. And it's something that, you know, mainstream science and even... you know, the out-the-box scientists have been trying to explain. I want to say it was 1907. I don't have the stuff in front of me right here, so I'm going by memory. But there was another meteor, much bigger, that almost hit in Russia. And there are witnesses that say something came up and shot it before it hit the ground. And ironically, this has now happened three times in Russia in less than 100 years. And if you go on now, and some of those links that show you the thing striking the meteorite in midair, there's also other things now that some of those impact zones have no, we'll call it extraterrestrial debris. There's nothing in those holes. Whatever hit the ground either isn't there anymore or completely incinerated. Now, we see meteor strikes and you get things like H3, helium-3. We know it's not on this planet. The only place we can even get it ourselves is on the moon. There are meteor strikes that have like H3 in it, high levels of titanium. Meteorite crash diamonds, which are like three times stronger and clearer than a normal diamond. Some of these impact zones in Russia right now have none of these telltale signs of a meteorite strike. And there are reports of the Russian military being in the area prior to the scientists going in to take samples. So one of the theories right now is that it wasn't even a meteorite. Whatever we saw strike, whatever it was, there are theories that is the warring aliens. And one of the ones that wants to hurt us shot something at us, and one of the ones that are protecting us defended us. There is some evidence.
Right.
It's scary. It makes you think. I'm not going to say I'm buying into it just yet.
Well, just like Steve just said, he believes, I think I understood you correctly, that you believe that an alien or alien beings did stop really huge destruction from happening.
I think something did, yeah.
And coincidentally... also, Riley Martin said the same thing.
And if you remember when we were talking about him on the show months ago, the discussion that we had from, you know, the February, March, April, May time that things were going to happen and that the people would see, and he said he was coming out in what, May or whatever, or April, about this revelation. Me and Nino had discussed it on the show last time I was here. And this is right around the same time now. If you remember the night that we were talking about that, and anybody out there can go back to our archive shows, we discussed the possibility of a meteorite entering our solar system, or our atmosphere rather, not our solar system, but our atmosphere, and what could happen. And there were premonitions out there about this.
Mm-hmm.
It was discussed months before, even on our show as well, about what could happen. And now that night I brought up the Eisen event.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who out there wants to look into this, the Eisen event, it is coming. And now instead of it being one solid mass, they're saying there's up to nine. The scariest thing about it is one of these spatial bodies, ice in itself is so big that it's actually got something orbiting it.
Mm.
It's got its own moon, and it's coming right for us.
Wow.
And supposedly a lot of the theorists out there say, because, you know, the ancient alien theorists and the conspiracy theorists, they are saying that the aliens are going to some way intercede, and they're going to help us.
Right. Well, that's what Steve just said. You know what I mean?
I think what happened in Russia was a small example of what everyone's going to see very soon.
Right. Well, you know, I just can't wait to read this book, because now I want to know what happened in those trances, you know? And especially if they're going to be the last of the trances that you ever take, right? Or go under, right?
I'm not doing it again, no. I've done it 3 times. I've been there and done that. I ain't doing it again.
Yeah. Well, then we better get the book.
I didn't want to do it in the first place. My wife made me. It took me a year. I had to get to know this lady for a year before I did this. I just jumped right into it and did it. I met this lady over a year ago, Yvonne Smith. We talked a couple times, you know, and I went to her office and we talked, and it took me a year to do it. So I ain't like I just jumped right in and let her do it. That didn't happen.
So why did your wife think it was a good idea?
To bring out more what really happened.
Okay, that's a good woman.
Now, was she
about the missing time? About Travis and.
Was she a believer prior to this, or?
Oh, she's a believer.
I understand that she totally is now, but I mean, even like say before you met her or whatever, was she into this?
Yeah, well, at first I didn't think she was, but she always has, because before we'd go to somebody's house, she'd tell me, "Don't tell anybody the story because they look like you're crazy, and you're nuts," you know. So she didn't like me talking about it, you know.
Well, no offense, if you're going to someone with me, I'd tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
That's not a good first impression. You know, once they get to know you, you might want to tell that story. But, you know, first impressions, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, she's always believed. She believes. She would just make her mad because she never got to see one. And this past January, she got to see 3 at the same time. So she was excited.
Yeah, definitely. Now, so after you went under for these trances, do you feel, you know, you don't have to tell us what they were, but do you feel better about things, or do you, you know, did you get answers?
I got answers.
And
a lot of things came out that everybody said it was intense. It's really intense, you know, and things came out that I didn't know. So yes, I'm glad I did it.
Right.
And answered a few questions.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Yeah, because I, you know, Steve, I would have been like, all right, I see Travis zapped and taken away, and shit, I'm gonna do everything I can so that doesn't happen to me, you know. I would need to have diapers on if that happened to me.
And you know. What makes me mad is people say, well, y'all took off and left him. I did not take off and leave him. I was not driving, so you cannot blame that on us.
Right, exactly. I know. Did Travis himself say, why'd you guys take off on me? He didn't say that, right?
I think he was mad at Mike for a while over that, for taking off.
Oh, yeah. You know, I guess.
Mike took off. Mike took off like a bat out of hell. I mean, that part in the movie that he's running over things and running over and knocking over, that's hitting trees and stuff, that part's true. But it was after we saw the spaceship, not going into town. Once we go into town, we weren't driving like a maniac. He only drove like a maniac for the first mile or so to get away from it.
Right, and yeah, he was like running like a bat out of hell. You know what I mean?
he wasn't missing a gear.
Oh man! Well, you know, like I said, it's been so good to talk to you about everything that happened, and I've always wondered, and I've always been curious, and now I'm even more curious about the book that's coming out this summer. And once again, Steve, tell people how to get a hold of you if they would like to.
I'm on Facebook, Steve Pierce, and then my email is steve.pierce@hotmail.com.
Okay, so that, you know, and then when the book comes out, it'll be on your Facebook account.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can go.
Plus,
I'm befriending myself tonight.
Friend me. I don't care. I let most people on. So the book will be out this summer, and then the summer will you can be able to see that video. I think the first time we show it, me and Yvonne are going to do it together at a conference.
Oh, that'll be neat. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to throw a few questions out at you right here, like totally on another subject, but because of your experiences, I would look at you as someone who has some input. What's your take on Roswell? Did that happen?
Yes. I believe that happened, and they're covering up more, you know, they're not telling the whole story. Of course, everybody knows the government's. But I believe that happened.
Personally, the one killer fact for me is they came out and said one thing and then completely different story the next day. Total screw up on the military. If they wanted to cover it up, they shouldn't have showed their cards.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I met this lady that her sister, she's going to give me her phone number. She's 90 years old now, but she still has her, you know, she's still there. She hasn't lost, you know, you know what I mean? Her mind's still there.
Yeah.
And she said her sister was there the day this happened, and the cops, she saw it happen in Roswell, and the cops held her up, her and her husband, for 17 hours, wouldn't let them leave, you know, and I'm going to check this out, and this woman said she was there, and I'm, you know, I believe her.
I myself had a discussion with a ex, somewhat high-up military gentleman, and, you know, he got on in years, and he stopped really caring about what they might do to him, and he flat out says that, you know, he knows for a fact this, and from his firsthand experience, from what he says, he was there to witness many of the things that they said did not happen, like the bodies being removed, this, that, the other thing. So according to him, and again, he's a little bit senile nowadays, but according to him, some of the things he's told me that, yeah, that story of what the cover-up of the craft, the bodies being recovered, this, that, the other thing, blah, 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 that is true. I mean, I put some faith in what he says. I mean, I believe the stories anyway, because, again, like I said, the military kind of showed their hand when they made one press release and then completely changed it the next day. You can't say definitively it's this, and then the next day say definitively it's this, totally different, and expect people...
Well, that changed their story.
To work. I'm sorry?
They changed their story.
No, completely, in less than one day. You can't go full one side to full the other side and say, well, you have to believe us. We always tell you the truth. Well, then what was yesterday?
Yeah.
Now, you're originally from Texas.
Yes, Fort Worth.
Okay. So I'm assuming that you're actually familiar with the Aurora story.
No. Tell me about it. Maybe I did.
It's actually kind of funny because a lot of the people that are out there that are into some of the things that we are into, a lot of them don't realize that Roswell wasn't the big first experience on United States record. In Texas, I believe it was 1897. Again, I wish I had my books and stuff in front of me right now, but I believe it was in 1897 in Aurora, Texas. Now, I mean, we live in Massachusetts, way the other corner of the country, and everybody up here has heard of Aurora, Texas. It's very well known. It's a very small, tiny little town. There's only one reason it's actually well known, and people don't even realize what the big story is. 1897 was the first encounter on U.S. record in Aurora, Texas, of a spaceship crashing on a farmer's field, a cigar-shaped craft with beings in it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Windmill.
Okay.
Now, supposedly, there was a body in the cemetery down there. And when people went to investigate, they said the other thing, and Roswell actually brought a big influx back to this area, because people were like, oh, you know, this has happened before, let's look into it. The government did intercede, and there was an area in the ground, And they can do it with GPR now, ground penetrating radar and whatnot, and they can prove that there was a grave in the spots where they said that the bodies were buried. And to this day, nobody's been able to prove anything. They went back afterwards, and the ground had been altered, and there are witnesses that say the military was there and government was there. They did something, some work. There was machinery and stuff like that. After that, nobody else has been able to find where these bodies have been buried. But again, I mean, you're from Texas. I actually figured you would heard it, but Aurora is actually the big first incident on the books. It was printed in something like 47 different newspapers in this country.
Yeah, when you said about the farmer, then that's when it clicked. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
It's like I said, it's funny because everybody has heard of Aurora, Texas, and nobody actually today remembers why. It's like population like 800 people, but it's one of the most well-known names.
Steve, do you think that we actually did visit the moon?
Ah, nice. You know, when he laughs like that, it makes me think, you know, I'm just.
He does know something.
Yeah, I hope so. You mean back in 1969?
Yeah. Because, you know, the stuff about it, how it didn't happen, it was a fake and all this.
I myself actually believe it happened. I believe the footage that was shown, some of it was faked. Myself, that's my own opinion. They say,
old timers, you know, back then didn't believe it happened. But I can remember watching it on the black and white TV, and that's when everybody didn't want to be a cowboy no more, and they wanted to be an astronaut.
Yeah. Right, exactly. No, because, I mean, there, like I said, there's so much speculation about if it happened or not. I was just curious what your take on it was.
And here's
another question I really want to ask too, Steve. Do you feel like the government is targeting you because of what happened to you at all? Are you getting phone?
Come on now, okay.
No, it's been funny.
You want to know the truth? Funny. I've got black cars following me. I've had helicopters on top of me, just sit there on top of me, looking at me, you know, and hovering over on top of me. And yes, and then a couple of days ago, a black car came in front of our house, and Stevie's outside playing, and Stevie comes in the house and says, "Hey, there's a black car out there." And he has tuned the windows, and the guy had his window rolled down, and he was just looking at me driving by. And so I went out there and looked, and he was already gone. And then about an hour later, she comes back in the house. She says, "Dad, the car is down there by the mailbox, sitting there parked and looking at me." So I get out and get outside and look down there, and he's turning around and going out and leaving. And the time I get out there, he's already out the main street out there taking off. And the other night we was going somewhere. I dropped her off at a place, and the black car was there again. And yeah, I've got some freaky things happening.
Yeah, I'd say. Now, you say black cars. Are these old black cars, like the usual men in black cars, or new black cars?
They're not old, but they're not brand new either. It didn't look all shiny, but it was black.
Right.
Are they like your standard police LTD type, or are they different?
Well, the ones that I did it, the first conference I did was in November 2011, and it was in New Jersey. Me and Travis, the first time we did it, when I came back, I was being followed by black cars. They look like kind of like cop cars that are painted black. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And they were following me. And then I was getting phone calls from, there was nothing on the phone. No number, no nothing. It was just came blank. And they would call me and tell me to quit talking about this, you know, go back and be, you know, being quiet again. Don't be talking about this.
Steve, they're like, go back to being a hick and shut up.
that's what they were trying to get at, you know. I couldn't call them back because there was no number on my phone. Usually it says something on my phone. a number, or, you know, or it comes up, you know, something comes up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but this was totally blank. Nothing on the phone. I was getting these phone calls. I got quite a few of them, and then I got these helicopters coming on top of me, black helicopters, and they would just hover over top of me, and then what do you call them? Army cars, army trucks.
Hummer.
A black Hummer was following me and had government plates on it, and it followed me for a long time.
Quick question for you. The government plates, you see the regular numbers like they would be printed on a normal plate, but there's a G and a number after that. Did you happen to catch what the number was?
No, not now. I just noticed it was a government. It was a government plate on there.
Was it a blue and white U.S. government plate?
The plate?
Yeah.
I think so. It was in California, and I was with another friend of mine, and she said it was a government. It said government on it, you know.
Yeah, the plate will say U.S. government right across the top, and if you're looking at it where the numbers on a normal plate would be, to the left of that, there's usually, well, there's a letter in one or two numbers. It'll be a G and then something like, you know, anywhere from 1 up into the 20s. And it'll be written in smaller numbers at an angle right before the actual, you know, what they would call the call signs of a license plate. I'm going to say one thing about that, too, though. I mentioned it earlier. Start carrying a camera. And on this one, don't use your cell phone or anything like that. The best thing you can actually use is like a disposable, cheap, you know, throwaway cardboard wrapped camera. Start carrying one of those. And if these guys are showing up a lot, take pictures.
I got a camera the other day.
Last thing they want is to know that they know that, you know, you make them public, they'll actually back off.
Right. Steve, I hope that you're safe, I mean, and talking, but, you know, I would have to. If it was me in your position, I'd be a little afraid, even though there's no reason to be. There's, like, no real good reason to be afraid to talk about this.
I'm 55 years old, and I've had a good life, so if they want to take me, go ahead. It'd be good for the book.
I know. Yeah, but then you won't see the proceeds.
But his family will.
I have an ex-girlfriend who wrote a book about me. I ain't not seeing none of that money. And I don't endorse that book.
Is it a nice book?
So she wrote a book about your experiences?
Yeah, it's a kiss and tell book, you know.
Yeah.
See, we would plug that, but, you know, why?
No,
why?
No. Why bother? Yeah. No, but so I would be so suspicious of the government, or, you know, if it is in fact the government that is following you, but I would just be afraid that I'm going to get repercussions. But like you said, you know, you're not afraid, and, you know, I really applaud you for that.
The more public you make yourself in a situation, if you decide to come out, the more public that you are, the safer you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm worried about my daughter. I don't want to hurt her.
Oh, yeah, I completely understand that, you know, totally.
And that's my wife. That's what my wife thinks. I think she thinks they're just trying to get through me, through my daughter, to make me back off, you know, because then, you know, everybody knows that that's my pride and joy, and, you know.
Right.
But she's homeschooled now, and I keep a close eye on her 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Yeah, good.
She can't go anywhere until she's 18.
And even then, she's going to have a hard time.
Just once again on talk shows at 9 o'clock on Friday.
So, you know.
We had actually, on a totally different topic, but again, dealing with the government, we had a guest on not too long ago, and they actually did mess with his family. They took his son away for a year and a half.
Yeah, and now he's in hiding, and, well, we can't say where
North
he
Dakota.
Is. North Dakota.
I'm thinking North Dakota.
Hey, if I had to go back into hiding, I would go back.
Go to North Dakota.
To
go to North Dakota, man. It's great. It's beautiful there.
No, I go to Fort Worth, Texas.
But will Jill still say it's North Dakota?
No, but I hope that nothing does ever happen to you, because, I mean, you know, let's just hope that actually America and the rest of the world wakes up to this alien exposure and isn't afraid and can embrace it.
Well, like, he's been on our show now, so you know he reached everybody.
Steve,
well, how big is your show?
No, that means you're now, my friend, listening. Steve, that means three people.
Hey, four. My mom's listening tonight.
But anyways, like I said, we really do appreciate you coming on here and dishing with us about this.
Yeah.
And will you? I hope that you will come on once the book is out this summer, and we can actually talk about all the, you know, trans.
I talk about everything once the book's out.
Okay.
I was gonna say, what's this hope stuff? Commit.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, you coming back after the book's out? Yes or no?
Do what?
Do you want to come back on the show after the book comes out and plug the book some more?
Yeah, I'll talk about everything.
There you go.
Good. I can't wait to hear it, you know. But, okay, so we're going to say goodnight because we have some promo stuff to do here. But, Steve, thank you so very much for joining us tonight.
Yes. Wow, yeah, we didn't even take a commercial tonight.
No, we're going to do that right now.
That's awesome. That's, you know what? Hey,
thank you for having me. Bye.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, hey, take care of yourself and tell your daughter hello,
yeah.
And I'm going to listen to her show on Friday night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay,
thanks again,
take
man.
It easy. Bye-bye. Okay. Okay, so that was a great interview with Steve Pierce.
Well, once again, I'm going to throw it out there. His book's coming out. The Broken Silence has to do with the Fire in the Sky incident. I'm sure plenty of you know what that is.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the book is, from what he told us tonight, the book should be really rife with new incidents where he was abducted.
Yeah, more importantly is what he wouldn't tell us tonight is makes me want to buy the book.
No kidding. Me too. I mean, I think that's so interesting.
I think we deserve autograph copies when we buy our book.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, we're going to have to go to South Dakota. I mean, North Dakota. Because he's going to be in hiding by then, so.
That's where everybody hides.
But thank you, Steve. And we're going to be back in 1 second. We're going to talk more about aliens. Let's see. We've got this. We'll be right back.
Visit purpleplates.com today. For over 40 years, the Purple Energy Plates have been delivering amazing results for their many customers. Inspired by the great genius Nikola Tesla, the harmony, healing, and energetic effects of the plates have proven over and over to be beneficial and often miraculous to thousands of customers. With their money-back guarantee and the many benefits, how can you afford not to get one? Check their site for daily specials and choose from their many energy products. You won't be sorry. Visit them today at purpleplates.com for mind, body, and spirit. And expect a miracle.
DelPadre.com. The website. DelPadre.com. Hey, check it out. Take your website to a whole new level. Del Padre Visual Productions. Anything you can dream up, they'll make it.
What?
They're freaks.
Hey.
High impact. Flash website design. CD-ROM business cards. Come on, get your act together. And your website. DelPadre.com.
You are back with Supernatural Radio Show. And we have just interviewed Steve Pierce. Star of the incident that happened with Travis Walton, Fire in the Sky is the movie, and Steve's new book coming out in June, I think he said, Broken Silence.
Yeah, definitely on my gonna buy it list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, once again, you know, as she touched base, the Fire in the Sky incident is one of the more well-known stories nowadays due to the movie, but obviously we have Roswell. We have the Aurora incident, which was brought up tonight. For us here, a little bit more local, we have situations in Southwick, Massachusetts. We have the Exeter, New Hampshire situation. We're going to touch base on all these, and we're trying to get firsthand account witnesses to show up. Anybody who might know any other stories that they want us to touch base on, please email us, tell us your story. If you're willing to come on the show, that'd be great. We'd love to have you.
Now, we know these aliens exist, okay? So, come on. It's like, if you're listening to this show...
Yeah, if you're listening, you must, you know, at least believe a little.
Right. I mean, how could you not believe? Do you believe you're the only sentient being in this universe? Come on.
That would pretty much be the definition of a fool.
A fool.
My way of thinking. I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but you're a fool.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Frankly, I'm afraid. I'm scared of aliens. I don't want to encounter any of them, and I haven't so far. Hopefully, that's never going to happen. But there are those of us who have, and we'd love to hear your experience. And there is help for people that have encountered aliens out there. You know, I mean, but, you know, seriously.
And not the kind of help that everybody else is going to tell you you need.
Right.
No, but she mentioned it again. You know, we'd love to hear back. Stories from different people, maybe ones that haven't hit the mainstream. We would love to touch base on those, maybe shine a little more light on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here for.
That's right. And, you know, because I can imagine it feels pretty lonely to have encountered an alien or, you know.
Well, I guess that depends on how many aliens were there.
Well, no, come on. It's because it is so outside of our realm.
I don't think it really is nowadays. Do you know that, like, I think it was either late 80s, early 90s. I forget when the study was done. It was like, you know, say between 88 and 92, somewhere in there, that the people that would at least admit to believing in aliens in the United States were less than 28%. And just done in 2010, it's above 80%.
Wow.
We discussed how, you know, it's becoming more mainstream, more popular. People are a little bit more open to it. And again, it's maybe people's way of thinking is changing. Maybe people are more willing to come out because there are other people like our guest tonight that, you know, they came out, they feel a bit more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. And that's what we're here for. If you guys want to tell your story, you want to have somebody just listen, you don't even have to be on the air. We'll still talk to you, get your story. And, you know, maybe we're just someone to talk to and we can bring some light on what you experience, and we don't have to put your name out there. You don't have to be on the radio. We just want to hear your story.
Right. Definitely. Like I said, I mean, it's got to be kind of a lonely experience when you have encountered, you know, had an alien intervention of some sort. You know, so definitely, but there are groups and there are help for people that feel like, what happened? What just happened to me? You know?
And I'm going to touch base on that is sometimes don't trust the more mainstream groups off the bat. And we were discussing just recently again tonight about the more public you make yourself known, the more people that know your story when you go into the limelight and when you go on to the big shows, the less chances there are of you being discredited because you've already got this following with you.
Right.
They've got to shut up 100 people, a couple hundred people, 1,000 people, whatever, as opposed to just shutting you up.
Now, this poor guy, Steve, that we just talked to, I mean, I say
he's
poor
great,
guy.
Wasn't he?
No, he was great. He was great.
He was down to earth. He was a cool guy. Once we got into the interview, we started talking, you know, one-on-one.
Yeah, and who openly admits they're just a hick? You know what I mean? A few people I know, and I know a lot of hicks. So...
Come on now. We live in Springfield. You got to drive 50 miles to find a hick. And they're still scarce.
No, but I mean, you know, it's cool that he's like, I am what I am, You know what I mean?
Well, like I said, he's down to earth. He's in touch with the, like what he at least perceives, and I fully believe reality.
And yet he's being followed by men in black. You know what I mean? I believe that, you know.
I'm glad you asked that question, actually.
Yeah, no, because I was like, there's got to be people following this guy.
Well, like I said, if there wasn't before, there will be after tonight.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, no. All right. No, but I mean, I believe they're following him, and who knows? You know, I hope he doesn't end up, you know, in a ditch somewhere. Jeez.
Hell no.
No.
And we got his back?
Yeah, and when the book comes out in June, we're going to hear more about when he went into a trance with this. Who is the woman that he...
Yvonne.
Yvonne who? Who is she?
I can't even think of it right now. I know who she is, and when he said the name, I recognized it, and I knew who he was talking about, but I can't even hear it right now. So what we need Steve to call back and give us the name of that woman.
Yeah. No, but...
Come on, this is internet. Rewind.
This woman, Yvonne, put him under a trance... And, you know, to see what had happened to him in his missing time, which was 4 hours. Which is a long time, I mean, to be missing.
I don't know. I forgot about 4 hours of last night.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, that was alcohol-induced, not alien-induced. I'll be honest.
Well, the thing is, like, that I've been reading recently about walk-ins. Do you know what a walk-in is?
That's when you go to the doctor's without an appointment?
No.
Oh, okay, when you go to get your hair cut without an appointment?
You know what? It's funny when I see walk-ins welcome on different businesses. A walk-in is, okay, for instance, I just read this book where there's above us the Dismal Realm. It's called the Dismal Realm, okay? On the Dismal Realm are people like you, RJ.
Wow. Wow.
No, I'm kidding. People like that have drank too much or whatever, they're regretting, they're still attached to Earth. However, some, you know, one of the stories that I read in this book was this guy that was in the DR, I've come to call it the Dismal Realm, and him and his drinking buddies in the Dismal Realm will come down to bars on our realm. And they would hang around in the bars and wait for someone to get really drunk or to pass out. Yes. They walk in. Yes. Yes. And, you know, this particular spirit would get so, he got so sick of trying to find a body to walk into, he just gave it up and decided to go into a, you know, how do I go to the higher realms? You know, so what?
Well, in a bar, that would be possessing the bouncer.
Yeah.
Or the bartender.
No, but what do you think about that?
Actually, I mean, he brought up earlier tonight on our show, our guest was talking about how some people think some of these things might be demonic. And again, I take it's a perspective on that. But when it comes to possessions and stuff like that, and a being that's able to jump from one to the other, it always makes me think of the famous story of Azazel, whatever you want to say. Do you know of...
Are you talking about Azrael?
No, that wasn't a cat on Smurfs?
Yeah. It was also a cat on the Smurfs, but it was also a demon.
All right, because Smurfs scare me. But no, Azazel, there's actually a couple movies about him. And the thing is, the scary thing about this particular demon is he's mentioned in hieroglyphs, cave paintings, blah, blah, blah. But one of those things that's too far spread across the globe, if you believe in mainstream science and history, what they teach us, that all these people could have communicated or anything, blah, blah. How do they all have the same story? This thing, this demon, this, we'll call him this dude, and he's been around for thousands of years, and there is documentation of murder cases and stuff like that where the people claim that Azazel or Azazel jumped into their body and did it.
Right. Now, I mean...
Well, the messed up thing is there's cities where there'll be 8 to 10 separate murders. The only thing connected is they claim that Azazel possessed them.
Really?
Yeah. Different, you know, people committing the crimes, not connected to each other, not connected to the victims. The victims aren't connected to each other. The only common denominator, if you will, is that these people claim they were possessed. And, you know, in some cases, like, I know there was one, I believe it was like Philadelphia or something way back, but out of like the 8 different suspects for all these murders that had claimed they were possessed, like 4 or 5 of them dropped the same name, basically.
Wow, I've never heard that.
There is a great movie out there. I want to say it was like Nick of Time or something like that. But in the movie, the big theme song, and you hear it a lot, is, you know, time is on my side, blah, blah, blah. And he jumps from person to person. And in the movie, he actually messes with this one cop. And, he tries to track him down and isolate him so he can destroy him.
Well, I actually talked to someone who claims to have been victim to a walk-in.
Are you speaking of the same person I think you're speaking of that was a guest on the show a while ago?
No, he wasn't a guest on the show. He died on the table from a heart attack.
Did you speak with him after or before he died?
After.
Okay.
But he says that his mother came to visit him after he died and he came back to life, or they brought him back to life. And his mother said, I don't know who you are, but you're not my son. And he said, Mom, what are you talking about? I don't know who you are. I like you better than my son. My son was an arrogant asshole. But you're way better than my son was. And this is what the guy claims, too. He goes, I was a different person. I now have different memories. I have memories of falling in love and being in a field with a woman. I never experienced that in my life. So on and so forth. So, you know, I do believe that we can have walk-ins come to us, you know?
They say the body is a vessel. And again, I have heard similar stories other than dealing with Azazel. But it's a little scary, but it's something you made me think of was there are stories of children that are, you know, passed away, stillborn, this, that, the other thing, and they are actually supposedly, in the stories that are told, that are possessed by something else throughout their life. They step in, or as you said, walk in, actually, to the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's almost as if we don't accept our lives completely and we don't accept our responsibility or our, you know, appreciate our lives, that we can be taken over. You know, does that make sense? It makes sense to me, you know?
Again, it's one of those things that falls under also is if you're not, like I said earlier, you make a decision about something, educate yourself, find out all the variables. This could be one of those things that ignorance is weakness, too. If you're a weak person, is that the other thing, and you're on your deathbed.
Right,
or whatever.
But I can see spirits hanging out in a bar. Can't you? No, seriously.
It's funny you mention that, but I've actually seen spirits in a bar. But anyway.
I'm not
and they
talking.
Were, no, not on the shelf.
Right.
Well, right in, you know, we're not right in Springfield, but we're right next to Springfield, Massachusetts. And Springfield, Massachusetts has got a few bars that are supposedly haunted.
Yeah.
One of which being the old Naismith. Was on Ghost Hunters. Is that the other thing? And
right.
They caught activity there.
Right. So it kind of scared me, you guys listening, because I'm like, oh, shoot. If I get drunk, I might have a walk-in into my body.
They say weakens your ambitions, blah, blah, you know, inhibitions or whatever.
Well, I'll never forget this story.
It could weaken your defenses, too.
Right. I'll never forget this story. Lorraine Warren, you know, the Warren, famous Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Yes.
She told me she was in New York City once, and she was going down the Bowery, and there was a bunch of homeless people, and there was one homeless man sitting there with his shoes next to him, and he was just sitting there, you know, with his head down, and she looked at him, and she felt so sorry for him, and she heard a voice in her head, she's clairvoyant. Lorraine is. She's still alive. Ed has passed away a couple of years ago.
Unfortunately.
Lorraine heard a voice in her head that said, you can't do anything for him.
I've heard that story.
Yeah, he's mine. And so, you know, in other words, are these people that are schizophrenic or mentally ill in some way, are they actually mentally ill or is it spirits?
Well, again, it's one of those things that in today's day, I would like to think that we understand it a whole lot more than we used to. I mean, look at how they used to treat those people back in the day. But at the same time, back in the day, some of the excuses and whatnot for that were possession.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to sit here and say that that's not 100% false.
Right.
There's a possibility that some of those cases, they were.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been documented in time. I mean, let's face it, some of the best known scientific minds, philosophical minds of time. If you read into, not what's in the school book, history books, but if you read into it, those people were just a wee bit.
Right.
Some of them, you know, okay, we had a show about Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla says he received messages.
Right.
There's many of the minds that are accredited to be the most intelligent beyond their time, blah, blah. A lot of people don't realize it. Those people are a little bit off center, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of puts some credence to, like, what's out there.
Yeah.
If they have information that they tangibly turn into an invention that completely revolutionized the way science was, and then they sit there and they say, well, the aliens told me.
Right.
Obviously, you're not going to put that in history.
It is a fact that we ignore our geniuses because half the time we think they're nuts, but they are here and they are perhaps channeling from other dimensions. You yourself might have felt like you were channeling from other dimensions. Okay, so we are actually we're going to answer one phone call quickly because we have like no time left.
Maybe a minute.
Actually, hold on. Hello, 367.
Hi, Crane.
Hey, you're a little
Todd.
Bit. Yeah, Todd, it's a little bit late. We're like almost at the end of the thing. We have actually 10 seconds.
Thank you for
left.
Calling, though. Would you possibly be willing
okay.
to a future show?
On a future show.
I'm sorry I'm calling so late.
That's okay. That's okay. Listen, Todd, I'm going to call you back, and we're
okay.
going to end the show right now. Okay. Thank you.
Excellent. Yep.
Okay.
Well, it was great that he finally called in. Thanks again, Todd. But hopefully we'll get him on another time.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural,
Supernatural
Radio Show.
That.
Register. He's like, yeah, but think outside the box. Think of the bigger picture. Think about not tonight. Well, what's that? He goes, you send these motherfuckers out of here, and they want more.
Yeah.